Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn over to John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. How many here have ever had a life verse, or maybe as you're going through a certain period of your life, that there's a certain verse that just means quite a bit to you, maybe more at some times than at other times? Anybody have a special verse like that? That you have, Miss Dale, what is it? Do you mind if I ask?
Well, my life verse is Proverbs 3:5-6.
Yeah, excellent. Someone else got a verse that means quite a bit to him along those lines? Brother Shepherd.
1 Thessalonians 5:24.
I love that verse. I love that verse. Someone else? Yes, Miss June.
When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon me, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel.
Amen. Amen. Someone else? Brother Chamberlain.
Psalm 40, verse number 2 or 3. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. Mm-hmm. Out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust.
Amen. Amen. Someone else? Becky.
Psalm 55:22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain me. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved.
Amen. Amen. Someone else? Brother Warren.
Trust the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not on thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him.
Amen. Amen. Someone else? Brother Jordan.
Genesis 18:14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Your time of plenty, I return to thee according to the time of life and perish.
Amen. So the reason I'm making mention of this is we're going to look at a verse tonight. One of my favorite verses the Lord gave to us several years ago, just almost just that constant believing that we're just on the verge of the impossible, if I can put it that way, is Isaiah 54:2-3, that says, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. And if ever I sign a Bible, I don't do that often, but that's the verses that I put there. And then after the Lord had spoken to my heart out of those verses, I actually read throughout history that William Carey, a great preacher and missionary, William Carey, he preached a message, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. And it was Isaiah 54:2-3 that he preached that message out of. And so thankful for that, praying that God would enlarge it and lengthen thy cords, strengthen thy stakes. The reason I made mention of that is because one of the verses that I'm going to read tonight that God's brought my heart and attention over to for this evening is one of those verses that people will go to as one of their life verses, as one of their goals. And as soon as I read it, you'll understand which one it is. And you'd say, yeah, I love that verse. And but it's actually what John the Baptist said in John 3:30. And he made this simple statement in John 3:30. He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. And a very simple, a very short verse, but yet a verse that is so profound and meaningful in our lives. Now, I've had that verse on my heart for quite a while about the subject matter of making sure that everything we do is about the Lord Jesus Christ and making sure that we are exalting Christ in our lives. I was talking with someone this morning, and I said, you know, several times I get asked about church growth and maybe what is a secret or something like that. And I don't believe there is a secret to it. And I said, but the more that I meditate upon this and think about the greatest church growth advice that I could give, the Bible says in Matthew 16, Jesus said, I will build my church. And Jesus didn't say he would build it with our help. Jesus didn't say he would build it with our programs. He didn't say that he would build it with our methods. Jesus just said, I will build my church. And I thought, you know, some of the greatest advice in church growth that I could ever give would probably be if he said he'd build the church, then we need to make it all about him and allow him to be able to build it. And that was in the context I was thinking about even John the Baptist saying in verse number 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. And I want to look at this verse because there's a few thoughts, and I was going back and looking at the context of Scripture in which John the Baptist was making this statement about he must increase, but I must decrease. Is we love and we always go to John 3:16. How many of y'all love John 3:16 in the Bible? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Praise the Lord. Wonderful verse. We have the assurance of salvation there and everything given to us, eternal life. And I'm so thankful for it. Well, after that, I want you to see this beginning in verse number 25. And here's the context in which this statement that John the Baptist made is written. Verse 25 says, then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. So they're coming saying, hey, this Jesus, this one who came to you beyond Jordan, and he's over there and they're baptizing and everybody's going to him. John answered verse 27 and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. And as I look down through here, I want to share just a few thoughts that God revealed to me and really just some simple thoughts as we look at this about this subject matter. I believe in each and every one of our lives, it ought to be our life goal for Jesus to increase and us to decrease, that people would see more of Jesus in us than what they see of us. And first of all, I saw that this statement was actually made when there were some men trying to compare ministry with ministry. And I said, now may the Lord help us if we get to the point of comparing ministry to ministry. I'm not just saying church to church, okay? But I am saying ministry to ministry, that sometimes things creep up in our hearts and our minds and in our lives, and we're saying, well, they're doing something that actually draws more people than what I'm doing. Well, even in that context, we ought to be saying, he must increase and I must decrease. Well, I don't like with this area that God has me in, and their ministry is growing faster than what my ministry is growing. And I'm thinking, okay, in this comparison, whether it be inside of a church or whether it be church to church, we ought to be to the point of saying, listen, it's not about where we are at anyway, because he must increase, but I must decrease. And so no matter what place we're in, now listen, John the Baptist up until this point, now listen, he got thrown in prison. He ended up getting beheaded, okay? His ministry didn't end well, but his ministry ended faithful. And he was faithful to the end, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knew his position in ministry. We'll look at it here in just a moment. But I thought, you know, even with him, the multitudes, the one who was able to baptize the Lord Jesus Christ. If there was anybody that could have said, yeah, well, who'd you baptize this week? Well, I baptized Jesus. Go ahead and top that. I mean, where do you go from there in ministry, okay? I baptized Jesus. That's what John the Baptist could say. But even in that context, he said, listen, you're coming to me. Now, hold on now. He must increase, but I must decrease. I'm saying, Lord, would you allow us, even in as we look around at scope of ministry that God has given to each and every one of us individually, we are to be found faithful in the field that God is allowing us to be able to serve and making sure that it is more about Jesus and all about Jesus than it is about us. But then here's the second thing that will really help us in this matter of he must increase, but I must decrease, is what John the Baptist said in verse number 28. He said, ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I'm not the Christ. And I thought, you know, for him to be able to understand and realize he's not Jesus. I thought, how wonderful may that be in our lives. Sometimes we'd realize not only are we not Jesus, listen, we're not even as important as Jesus. Jesus is a whole lot more important than we are. And I thought, listen, if we'd get that settled in our lives and realize, and here's what John the Baptist is saying, hey, there's more people going over to him than they are coming to you, John. It's almost like he's saying, what do you expect? I'm not Jesus. I'm not the Christ. And I'm thinking, boy, if we'd understand that in our lives, saying, listen, I'm not Christ, so that means there's someone more important than me that I ought to be reflecting all the honor and the glory and the praise to be able to exalt him instead of me. And in each and every one of our lives, if we'd understand, I know some get to the point that they think they might be Jesus. You say, yeah, all them false religions out there and everything. No, I think sometimes we almost get the mentality that we're as important as Jesus. I think sometimes we almost get to the point because we're trying to make it all about ourselves and not about Jesus. He must increase. When's the last time that we made the conscious decision to make sure that Jesus was exalted higher than what we are? And I said, Lord, if you'd allow us to do that on a regular basis, making sure that we know, listen, we're not Jesus, but we do know him. And we can make it all about him. But then I thought about this, and here's where I want to get to. He gives the illustration here in verse number 29 that he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. That's a correct statement, isn't it? Pretty well a correct statement. Bride and the bridegroom, okay? We still use those terms today, by the way. But he says, the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. What would you think? I guess Corey and Taya, they were the last ones to be married. It hasn't even been a year yet, and they're not even sitting together in church. We may need to address that. And here they are. See, they're sitting down here on the second row. And sitting right together and everything. That's just because she's tired and she's about to fall asleep on his shoulder. The bride, and what would you have thought if we're getting ready for that wedding and Corey had his best man standing up here beside him and you could just tell. Now, listen, It wasn't a Hallmark movie. This verse does not make for a good Hallmark movie where the best man is falling in love because they're a friend of the bride and everything. That's not how this goes. But what would you think? Corey stands up here as the groom and his best man standing over there beside him, and he's just folded his hands and he's upset and got a scowl on his face and just making things miserable for the bridegroom. And you'd say, that's not how you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be excited for the one that is getting the bride. And that's what John the Baptist is saying here. John the Baptist is not the bridegroom. He just said, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the bridegroom. I'm not the one getting the bride. But I'm the friend of the bridegroom. And he said, the friend of the bridegroom is rejoicing at the sound of his voice. Here's what was said by all the groomsmen as they were lined up here. Corey standing here. As far as I know, they're all excited for him. They're all happy. They're all thankful. I don't think anyone was pitching a fit that Corey was marrying Taya. At least they didn't tell him anyway, which is a good thing, okay? But they're all happy for him. They weren't the ones getting married. But I thought, you know something? When it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, when it's not about a proper focus on Christ, brings great joy in our lives. You say, but I'm not Jesus. I'm not the one. Well, praise the Lord for that. I'm thankful you're not Jesus. You wouldn't have been able to die for my sins. You wouldn't have been able to forgive me. You wouldn't have been able to rise from the dead and take me to heaven for all of eternity, that I can spend eternity with you. Proper focus brings joy, and we ought to get just as excited, honestly, more excited, when everything is about Jesus, when the attention is taken off us. But see, we have things backwards today. We get a lot of joy when the attention is put on each and every one of us in a good way. When the good spotlight is put on us, man, we love the attention. We'll soak it up. Listen, it ought not to be like that. Even John the Baptist said, listen, my joy is fulfilled when it's all about the bridegroom and it's not about me. He said, I'm just rejoicing at the voice of Jesus. And I'm so thankful. And he said, let me summarize it this way in verse number 30. He must increase. In other words, all the talk that's going on now, all the people that are following him, all the people that are going to him for the preaching and to him for the counseling, everybody that's following after him, listen, he must increase and I must decrease. I believe one of the greatest verses of humility in the scriptures is what John the Baptist said in verse number 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. And so the thought that I wanted to leave with us tonight before we go into prayer meeting is I wonder in which areas of our lives would we be honest and say, you know, Jesus, he needs to increase in this area. It may be in comparison. It may be, I want this, but they've got that. It may be we're thinking too highly of ourselves than we should, and we need to realize we're not Jesus. Well, why does he get all the credit? Because he's Jesus. That's why. And understand, listen, if we're lacking joy in our lives, I wonder if joy would get off what we can see fulfilled, and true joy would come in just making sure that Jesus is exalted and he increases, not just in my life, but increases in your life. You know what I believe the ultimate goal ought to be? We ought to, everybody we talk to, everybody we come in contact with, everything in our church, we ought to try to live each and every day and each and every week and encourage and exhort one another that when we're done talking to them, that Jesus is increased in their life. And make it more about Jesus than what it is about us. That they leave a conversation, doesn't matter how eloquent we can wax as we're talking to them, no matter what words we're able to put forth, that they don't walk away saying, boy, they spoke greatly. But they would walk away saying, you know something, I've got an increased view of Jesus. And I'm so thankful for Jesus and what he's done in our lives, and that continually, and it ought to become our life's goal, not just a verse at some point. It ought to become a life's goal for Jesus to increase, but for us to decrease. And just ask God that he would be preeminent in our lives. And what a wonderful context of Scripture. Can you imagine, and I'm going to read this at the end of it, after that baptizing was taking place. It actually talks about that John was baptizing in verse number 24. And then it says, for John was not yet cast into prison. I mean, just a great prelude to how the conversation is going to be. So I'm going to tell you about this. It was before John was cast into prison. This was taking place. He must increase, but I must decrease. And I'm saying, Lord, in all of our lives, would you help that to be true? And maybe God would help us to identify areas of our lives that we need to decrease some, and he needs to increase in priorities, in effort, in time, that he would increase. Let's pray. Father, we sure do love you. Thank you for the word of God. Lord, what a tremendous example of a selfless life that John the Baptist was willing to live and make sure that everything about his ministry, everything about his life, was making sure that Jesus would increase and he would decrease. Lord, I pray that we would take that to our hearts, and I pray, Lord, most of all, that you would have the preeminence in our lives, that you would be first, that everything in our lives would come out from you. And Lord, when people look at us and when they look at the church, they'd know it's all about Jesus. Thank you for your love to us. Thank you for allowing us to be able to serve someone who is so worthy of all the honor and the glory and the praise. Thank you for your love to us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Jordan has the...